Okay, hello, and welcome to the 48th Read Comics podcast.
Hooray!
Yay! This is a podcast about what exactly?
You know what? I actually still have my little program. This is our podcast about Mix, which is the Minneapolis Indie Expo.
First annual.
2010.
And so I'm Marty.
I'm Jason.
I'm Sharon.
I'm Florence.
And I'm Susie.
And we have Susie via Skype. And so we went to this event when?
It was,
is there a
date on here? It was about a month ago. It was, I don't know. Yeah, it was about a month ago. My friend Eric was even in town from San Francisco, who I'm going to see next week when I go to San Francisco.
Was he there? Was he in town just for the expo?
No, he was just in town. He was in town because another friend of ours was in town. Actually, my friend Kevin, who did not go to the expo.
Is he a comic book?
Is he a comic book? Yes, he is a comic book.
Well, I'm glad it's relevant to this podcast.
My friend Kathy Camper was in town for the expo because she does the Sugar Needle zine. Mm. And she was giving away candy, but her candy was melting because it was so hot in the soap factory that day.
It was hot, and it smelled like animals. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did. I don't know what the history is of that space, but
I think they used to make soap.
Yeah, they used to render animals and make them into soap.
Whoa.
Render
how long ago?
Yeah, they
had
the ovens in the basement.
Relevant to comics.
Oh, God. No, I think it smelled so badly because they're working on the haunted basement right now, and they have a specialist in making icky scents for the haunted basement.
Yes, the Soap Factory is a place in northeast Minneapolis that is full of artsy, hippie goodness, except for Halloween when they have their haunted basement, and I cannot go because it is too scary for me.
Yes.
Well, and we can't go because there are too many freaking people there, and we do not have the stamina it would take to wait in line to go in.
I get to go in and take photos of the basement when nobody's in there.
Ooh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Is it less scary then?
It's still creepy.
Yeah.
These are the dank places are kind of scary on their own, at least to me.
Exactly, and it's very, I'm claustrophobic.
Well,
and
these are the kind of people that pride themselves on their artistry when it comes to making the scary stuff as realistic as possible.
Exactly.
And
so
I'm
the
like,
space, do we even mention the space is called the Soap Factory?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
rent it today because it will smell disgusting as part of their preparation.
But basically what the Minneapolis Indie Expo is, it was our first indie comic exposition here in the Twin Cities.
Exposition?
Well, that's what expo is short for.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You never knew that?
It seems like there should be another word.
Expose?
Yeah, sure. Expose is better than exposition. It's like, I'm going to talk about it. I guess there was
two
talking.
Two uses of that word, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But it drew artists and fans from all over the upper Midwest and even further.
I can imagine expository.
Okay. We're done.
You do expedition.
Yeah, expedition.
We didn't go
totally.
Anywhere, though. It was a journey in your mind.
Expedition. So there were a lot of artists there. We had some local artists like Xander Cannon and Robert Kirby and
Tom Kaczynski.
Yes, they really should have had like a little thing in here about
local.
Who is a local artist and who is from out of town?
Like
who,
they do with cheese at the co-op.
And they did
That's
it.
Sam Haiti, he's local.
Yeah.
They in oh and Lem and
that other guy
Lem
who do you blanket
yeah.
yes I'm looking
Pugh
Lem and
Eric McCowan Eric
yes
McCain.
Now Susie had you read Blanket before
I had yes
okay
I've read Blanket
yeah
well I thought that was the Craig Thompson one.
Nope.
Well, Craig Thompson wrote Blankets.
Oh, never mind.
Which comes from, is put out by Top Shelf, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Top Shelf was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Quimby's.
But
and
Blank It is a webcomic
web
put out by Lem and Eric.
No, I haven't read that yet.
I went to high school with Lem.
Oh, funny.
Starring characters named Lem and Eric.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess
I'm
a blank
who occasionally wear no pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good, actually.
I really think,
like, it's surprisingly good.
And they claim that that comic, Blank It, is completely planned out. I think that they're full of crap. Because
really?
It's very strange, the stuff that happens in it. It's very, very strange. That does not mean it is not planned.
Well, this is true. But, I mean, it really seems like the kind of comic...
Where they just come up with it each week.
Yeah. Like, what should we do this week? I don't know. How about they get attacked by cookies? Okay, they'll get attacked by cookies this week. And what's going to happen next week? Oh, the cookies will fight with robots.
Yeah.
Well, and that has all happened.
Yeah, I don't think they've claimed that every week is planned ahead of time, but the bigger arcs. Well, we should explain that. So, me and Marty and also Jason and Sharon were at the expo. Mm-hmm. Susie has a stack in front of her of things that Marty and I bought for her birthday.
Yes.
That she just opened.
So I have a stack from you guys, and then I just also have a stack of small press stuff.
Yeah, it was a great surprise, wasn't it? Your stack of comics for your birthday.
The connection was so bad on that last podcast that I didn't hear being spoiled.
You didn't hear me, like, hitting Marty in the back, being like, stop!
And Marty's like, what? What?
We already sent it to her. Yeah. We did send them to her, but they were wrapped as gifts.
But no, so I was completely unspoiled for that.
Excellent.
Well, good, good. Yeah, we all kind of have a little stack of stuff that we picked up there.
I think we should post pictures of our stacks, too.
I think I already have pictures online of mine, so I'll have to share them via Retex.
Yeah, we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff we got, and...
No, first we need to talk about the donuts. My son and I got there right when they opened to get the donuts from the Donut Cooperative.
Donut Cooperative.
Yeah, local donut makers.
Yes, and they make fancy donuts.
Yes, there's a grapefruit... That was good, but they were kind of melting.
Wait,
a
grapefruit donut?
Yeah, grapefruit glazed.
Mm. And they were giving them away. Yes. They were free.
Yeah, they were?
Yeah.
I saw the stack of donuts. I didn't know they were free.
Yeah, but it was donation.
Yeah, I mean, you could donate, but...
Yeah.
So I donated $1 and had, I don't know...
Were they donations?
Wow.
Sorry.
and Parker was distributing donuts, if I recall.
Oh, that's right, he was.
Well, someone told us about that before we saw the donuts.
My son is so helpful with his germy little hands touching everybody's donuts.
Donuts.
I think he's trying to get everybody to eat the vegan donuts because he's vegan.
Oh, happy birthday, Parker.
Happy birthday, Parker, for tomorrow.
Awesome. Okay. So, yeah, I got there, and I just kind of wandered around and took in all the various artists. I mean, it's very much like your typical comic convention, except
nobody was dressed up in costume.
No one was dressed up in costume, and it's all focusing on small press artists. You know, there was no one there from Marvel, no one there from DC. There was Top Shelf was there,
mm-hmm.
There were no dealers either. So you didn't have, I mean, you had a couple of vendors like Top Shelf, but you didn't have dealers
mm-hmm.
who were selling back issues of whatever.
Right.
The closest we've had to something like this in the Twin Cities is we do have an annual zine fest
mm-hmm.
that I've been to a couple mm-hmm. of times,
and
which is
not
really
the same
cool.
organizers.
No, and it has a different feel to it.
Well, no, but I'm pretty sure there are organizers that are in charge of both the zine fest and this. And I don't know if it's just that there are some people that are involved in both, but...
Yeah.
Well, there's some of the same artists in both.
Yeah.
Same designers, same creators.
Right, but I think organizers specifically.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is that I went to that single-day conference on comic book making at the...
Oh, that had the guy from American Born Chinese?
Yep. Yeah, it was at the Loft.
Mm-hmm.
And the Book Art Center or whatever.
Oh, right.
And, you know, at the end, yeah, the open book. And at the end of it, they kind of asked for announcements. And that was one of the announcements was this, you know, the Indie Comic Expo. And then the same woman was plugging both the Indie Comic Expo and the Zine Fest.
On a smaller scale, we have had Zach Sally does an annual thing. But he's done that at Eclipse Records in the past. And he invites a bunch of small press people to come. But Eclipse Records is now closed, so I don't know where that's going to happen next year.
Well, it's worth noting
Eisner
that we are
Award
now
winning Zach Talley.
Joined by Colleen.
Hello, Colleen. Oh my God, you're so cute.
And we, oh, what was I? Yeah, we've totally been derailed by baby.
Here's the baby. Oh, your baby.
Okay, yeah, we've just lost
well,
so
to,
many listeners.
I had to, you know, let them know that it's real.
But the baby's a mutant and has many tentacles. It's very cool.
She's too sleepy to deploy them just now, but later.
Yes.
We did actually get a children's book.
Which my son got for free. Oh, wait, not that one.
Not this one. It's
I wish.
Called Look and Find Scary Monsters and Other Creatures.
It's basically Where's Waldo with vampires and werewolves and mummies and stuff.
Yeah,
so much
yeah,
fun.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was, we looked at this and we're like, oh my God, that's so cool. We have to get that.
And who is it by?
It is by Paul
Fricky?
Fricky or Frick?
Paul Frick.
Freak, it could be called, maybe. But he signed it for Colleen. If you seek, you shall find.
Nice.
That was really sweet. Yeah, and it's really cool. Like he said he spent like 6 months on it or something like that, which I can believe because there's lots of detail in the pictures. So, what else about it?
About the book or about
the
event
in general?
Well, I was going to say that I felt like it was completely different from the conventions I've been to, but it felt like Artist Alley of those big conventions.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like a really big Artist Alley where
yeah.
there was no wrestlers, there were no, you know, random board models paid to be there, to
no
staff
cars.
Booths. Right. It was just the comics and the people creating them
well,
and people who were wandering around.
And one of the nice things about it being like this is that, so it's Artist Alley. You go to Artist Alley at something like Wizards World or something like that, and they want to sell sketches and stuff, and to advertise their sketches, they generally tend to have backdrops full of busty women.
Mm-hmm.
And you just didn't see any of that here either.
It's
yeah.
true.
I mean, it was
that is
really
a good point.
It was artists focusing on their craft instead of just trying to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, Lem and Eric told me that unlike other conventions like Fall Con and Spring Con that we have here in the Twin Cities. At this one, they actually paid to have
a booth, a table,
and all the attendees got in for free. Whereas for like Fall Con, artists don't apparently have to pay for a booth. I didn't know that, but they don't have to pay for a booth, but everyone who goes in has to pay to get in.
Right. Interesting.
I'm not sure. I like that, actually.
About
the artists
you'd rather
have, to
have it the other way?
Well, Lem and Eric...
Kind of how it works, though, with things like art fairs.
Yeah.
Artists
yeah.
have to pay for their space in the fair, mm-hmm. and then everybody comes in for free.
Yeah.
But they get the opportunity to sell all their art.
It's true. I suppose it opens it up to a much broader audience.
Yeah, that's how
people
Uptown Market
see their
does
stuff.
It, and that kind of thing.
Lem and Eric actually said that they much prefer this model, mm-hmm. where they pay an amount for a table, and then they can invite everyone to come, and everyone gets in and buys stuff, takes that $10 and gives it directly to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because,
I mean,
you know, I mean, it's not like at Fall Con they're taking how much people are paying and distributing it among
no.
the artists.
It's a much better model if there is a decent turnout like there was. I was worried there wasn't going to be a good turnout because of the weather.
Oh, there were so many people
but
there.
But it was packed all day long. I was
mm-hmm.
there in the morning and the afternoon, and there were tons of people. Everybody made tons of sales. My boyfriend sold, I don't know, like 15 copies of his book for $10 each.
And I got to meet him for the first time.
Oh, right.
And they had stuff the night before, which mm-hmm. I didn't attend. They had stuff going on.
I went
that
to the
night
special
that I didn't
screening
attend.
Of the Scott Pilgrim movie, and that was super fun, and we won prizes from Big Brain, and it was fun watching Scott Pilgrim with that many nerds. They reacted to the movie appropriately. It was excellent.
So, which group got to see the free screening?
It wasn't free, but it was at St. Anthony Maine, and so it was just all the people who'd come from out of town to have the expo, to you know have tables at the expo,
mm-hmm.
they came to the movie. And
yeah, and it was just, I mean, you didn't have to, I mean, you just paid to get in. It was just a a special screening.
Oh, and they showed a half hour's worth of locally done animated shorts ahead of time.
And that was what I really wanted to see.
It was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I would have loved to have done that.
Yeah. Parker thought it was fantastic. So,
and Colleen's going after the candy zine. Why don't you talk about the candy zine?
Oh, yeah. Kathy Camper. Oh, I will sit over here, yes.
Move closer.
My longtime friend Kathy Camper used to be a Minneapolis librarian, but she moved to Portland. And she's been doing this sugar needle zine for years and years. She reviews worldwide candies. And I think this was this the vegan edition? No, she had a vegan edition as well. Kathy is half Lebanese, just like I am, and that's relevant to no one but me. I didn't even know Kit Kat made a cinnamon. I don't know about Kit Kat cinnamon. What do you guys think?
She had a number of the zines there, and I love it. I think it is a great little zine. We all seem to get the same issue, number 35.
There was like 7 issues on the table.
Well, that was the latest one.
And the cover is done by... Who did this cover? Does it say?
I can't remember. She does it under the name Karina Fastwolf. I forgot about that.
But it has, the cover has this bear guy eating gummy bears. And,
is that
Reed
with a Hershey's bar on the back?
In it, it's just... it's a review of candy from around the world.
Which I think is, I mean, that's just so awesome.
And I've gotten to contribute. One time when I went to Iceland, I brought her back a bunch of candy that she reviewed. So that was super fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I would like to tell people that they would be contributors if they gave me candy.
Yes. If anyone wants to bring us candy from exotic locales, we will...
credit you somehow.
Yeah, you will definitely be mentioned on the blog and podcast.
Oh, I hadn't seen this. She found this amazing thing at the dollar store. Belly flops, irregular jelly beans.
Yes. Irregular.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've had those. Jelly Belly, it puts them out. And it's like when you have a Jelly Belly where two of them are stuck together or something like that.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
I could have a whole bag of that. That's magical.
Wow, that's like a manufacturer's dream.
I know. Solo scrap.
It's just like OK Soda, where it's just like the crap that was left over in the barrel. And
So we talked already about Lemon Eric and Blanket. And did you pick up their book?
We did, but we gave it to Susie.
We sent it to
Susie. Okay.
That was one of my birthday gifts. It was the blanket trade.
Yep.
So,
and they got it signed, and they each did a little doodle. It's very cute.
They were sharing a table with Molly Hayden, who had something called War of the Web Comics. And I got it because, because it has little anime boys making out in it.
Sharon was just laughing because we picked up something called The Adventures of Alan Moore.
It looks amazing.
Which
he's doing the scream on the front.
And it's drawn, or it's created and drawn by a 13-year-old.
Oh, I met him, I think.
Right, he was very near the donuts.
Yeah.
And Marty was
J.P. Beatty.
Yeah, Marty was deep in conversation with an artist next to him, and I saw the stuff, and at first just thought he was a kid manning someone else's booth, and then. Can I look closer? And he looked a little older, and then I looked at the art, and I thought, I asked you, is this yours? He's like, yes. I will take one.
Nice.
And it really is hilarious. Can I see just it? Alan Moore, like, randomly going about his life and, like, screaming at people and going on random, like, tirades, exactly as I imagine Alan Moore.
Yeah, I think he actually does, yeah.
Do you think he screams at Neil Gaiman like that, though? I don't know.
Well, not so much screams as, like, goes on, like, loud tirades.
Yeah. I could see that.
Random intermittent.
Oh, look, he made a map in here of England and France.
Whoa. It's highly detailed. Yeah. Not really.
No, but, I mean, that's
French
awesome.
And French England in his world.
That is awesome.
That is pretty good.
That kid has moxie.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, and I saw him thanking the organizers. I have to mention Sarah and Andy, total sweethearts, worked really hard to get this thing together and are reconsidering having it in August, though, at the Soap Factory because it was so hot.
The mix, the Minneapolis and New York Expo. Okay. The kid who wrote The Adventures of Alan Moore, J.P. Beatty, does have a blog, apparently, jpbeaty.blogspot.com.
Mm. I wonder if he paid his table fees with his allowance, or was subsidizing him being there.
He mowed the lawn.
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I know that Sam Heady was, it was Sam Heady that was right next to him, and he was saying that he was encouraging him, and I'm not sure if he, like, brought him or if he came with, or I don't know.
Or if they were just talking.
Yeah, they could have just been talking that day. I don't know. But he was promoting
Sam Heady's
his stuff.
Sam Heady is super nice.
Yeah, he really did seem really nice.
Yeah.
And who is Sam Heady?
He does a bunch of comics. What you've got?
Well, the latest one is called Death Day, and by now the actual comic should be out. This was a preview that I got for like $5 or something, and it's freaking amazing. I mean, like, there's no words, so I don't really know if. Oh no, there are some words. Never mind. But mostly it's just these very elaborate drawings. It's kind of like an alien landscape, and there's these alien creatures. And you don't, I mean, I don't really know what's happening yet, but this is just a preview.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited to.
He was also giving away full color giant posters that were amazing, and I got the last one.
You did? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I
definitely
I have a picture of it somewhere.
Well, and the cover was originally drawn. It was,
oh, yeah. He drew this while I was standing there.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I was standing there so long, really. But he is the creator of another comic that I'm not remembering the name of.
I can't think of it either, and I have it.
Yeah, it's called, like. It's got a Spanish title.
Oh,
yeah,
the
it,
one that
beautiful.
I have a t-shirt for, because I got it at FallCon or SpringCon or something. Tiempos.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also does goulash.
Tiempos something. Tiempos finales. The end times.
Yep,
something like
it.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and which apparently is going to be a movie or is often for a movie.
Yeah, and he just gave me the t-shirt at. FallCon or SpringCon, whichever
nice.
It was.
Yeah.
All right. So I have the comic
movie money.
I think I got the comic as well. I think I bought the comic and he gave me the t-shirt.
Nice. Well,
and you know, and I go to these, go to the FallCon and the SpringCon, and I swear, you know, it's like, I don't want to go and dig through the, quarter bins for back issues. I want to go and I want to get all of these little things that they have on their tables. I mean, these are the ones that I want. What are you looking at?
The program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were happy to spend money there.
We actually went out to find an ATM and come back. That's something I recommend to the organizers when they do find a new venue, is they find something with an ATM if
sense.
Everyone's going to take cash,
yeah.
because it really limits, you know, how much.
Actually, one of the comics that I got, two of the comics I got, by Ursula Murray Husted, Drawing on Yourself and Looking Up, and then you guys got the third
one,
too. Making Rain.
Yep.
Drawing on Yourself is about a guy getting a tattoo, and it's all set in Uptown and everything. Looking Up is actually set in West Virginia, and it has a couple of spreads in it. Like landscape type spreads, you open it up and it's
Foldouts.
Yeah, foldouts.
Oh, neat.
Cool.
And they actually took credit card and they did it via the via some credit card app thing
on
the
iPhone.
Yeah.
Ooh, was it Square? Was it a little Square dongle on the end?
I don't remember.
There's a company called Square that basically makes a credit card reader that plugs into your headphone jack, and they send you this little Square dongle.
Nice.
And you slide the card through the dongle.
I don't remember.
It's pretty cool.
So when we talk about it next year, maybe more of the vendors will, or artists
right.
will be selling that
The
way.
Cool thing about Square is that they're trying to sort of democratize it. Like, they charge less fees than PayPal, even.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like they're really trying to compete with Visa and the major credit card companies that basically gouge small businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one, a service that was like Bump for iPhone, but it was transactions.
Money.
Yeah, I can't think what it was called.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few different startups
now.
Hopefully
one of them gets their act together and it's successful.
Well, so one vendor I wanted to mention, I didn't get a book from him, but I got a t-shirt, is Jeremy Tinder. And I just love this shirt. I've worn it twice now. And even though it's a pink t-shirt, which is not something I normally wear, the art on it was just so striking. It's like, it looks like a big boy doll and a little boy doll, like, facing each other with their, like, sitting on the grass with their feet touching and looking at each other under a big tree.
Huh. So and every time you've worn it, people have complimented it.
Mm-hmm.
It's brown print on pink. Yep.
So normally you don't wear pink, but you subject your daughter to wearing pink.
That's how people know it's a sheet.
How very traditional of true. You.
I am out a little bit. I'm actually, like, seriously conflicted about that. And I, like, had a whole extended train of thought about it yesterday. About, like, is this how, you know, gender norms are enforced? Is it just easier just to dress them where, like, the color all the outfits are in? And
you
not
don't
have to
exclusively
constantly...
dress her in pink.
I don't. And that's what I vindicated myself in my head in this train of thought I was having while I was walking to work. Is that I...
You dress her in all the colors of the rainbow.
Right. I very intentionally have cultivated a wardrobe out of random hand-me-downs from little boys and little girls and new stuff that has a mix of colors. And when she is old enough to dress herself, she will be allowed to wear whatever random ass shit she picks out for herself.
And her
day.
Bed sheets have rockets on them.
And her bed sheets have rockets on them. So as long as she knows that she can dress up as a pink princess or a rocket ship or whatever she wants.
Whatever kind of cosplay she's into.
Exactly. Right. It's all about playing dress up. It's not gender required.
Wonderful.
Before I forget, one of the other comics that I found that I fell in love with was The Pterodactyl Hunters, and it's in mock newspaper format, and it was really cool.
That's awesome.
But now I desperately want the next one that's not done yet, because it's a total cliffhanger, and I'm dying.
Yeah.
Where did you find that?
That was actually Given. It was from Big Brain, though. It was their giveaway.
I wonder
at the
if Big Brain
thing.
Still has copies
you
at their store.
You should get one, because it's amazing.
Look.
It was really cool. I mean, I kind of, like, read through a little bit of it while we were looking through them. And, yeah, it seemed like it was going to, you know, either be a while or, you know.
But I want it now!
I still actually, I have, recently they put out a similar thing, which was a big newsprint, I forget what it was called.
Are you talking about the Wednesday thing?
No, not the Wednesday comics from DC Comics. This was something that local comic artists put out, and it was newsprint. It looks like a big newspaper, and it's all comics, all local comics.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure what it's called, but I need to find that again. I am, yeah.
You are...
take it, Marty.
Okay, all right. Well, let's see. What else? The big star of the show, at least for me anyway, or from my perspective, was the guy who does Dr. McNinja was there. So he was, I think, the biggest webcomic, if I'm not mistaken, present, and basically just brought what he could fit in his, you know, suitcase and sold all of them, as far as I could tell. I bought the second to last one, so... of his latest book. He signed my book, and there's a cute little drawing of a skull, and it says, Blah, Marty, blah, gah.
Well, that's volume 3.
This is volume 3, yeah. And, I mean, if you haven't read Dr. McNinja, it's totally worth, like, going to the webcomic.
I've never read it.
Them. They're pretty funny.
They're
I mean,
funny.
It's absurdist humor. It's, you know, sort of surreal, sort of... I mean, it's not... I shouldn't say that. It's actually kind of the opposite of surreal. It's not surreal at all. It's literally a ninja who is a doctor. And
Is he Irish?
He's from a family, a long family of ninjas. And so, like, they are all sort of ashamed that he's a doctor. But he wears his ninja costume while he's doctoring people and vice versa. And, yeah, he's, like, got a ninja, like, hat on, but he wears, like, a doctor sort of smock. And, yeah, I mean, it's a great comic. If you haven't read it, see it. You know, it's great. And he's been making his living off of it for over 4 years, it sounds like. He's made some, like, iconic web t-shirts that, like, you know, probably everyone's seen, like, What Would Batman Do? He said that when the What Would Batman Do t-shirt came out, that was when he quit his job.
Huh.
And he was making enough at that point from a web comic. That he could just quit his job.
Yes, so he was
living
able
the dream.
To, he was able to pay his bills.
Yeah,
by
well, yeah, maybe
doing a webcomic.
Maybe he was making $10,000, but you know, maybe.
It was enough for him to live off.
And that's great. And you know, I would like to think that I could have a streamlined enough lifestyle where I could do something like that. And never travel to anywhere ever.
Well,
that's what my boyfriend's doing right now.
Well, he traveled to the Indie Expo on his own dime. And
that's true.
I mean, I don't think he's hurting, if I had to guess.
Okay.
He's probably doing fine. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'll write back with his financial statements.
He'd be like, who is that jackass on the podcast? Yeah, I didn't even say it. I bet you're not making much money.
Archer Hastings, I think, is his name.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an interesting name. I hadn't known. But it's hilarious how this one starts, this third volume, because it's a recreation of...
Plan 9 from Outer Space?
No,
yeah.
No. Well,
the cover is
Plan 9.
Yeah, no, but this is the thriller
video. It is, yeah.
And, yeah, it is sort of like a juxtaposition of Plan 9 from Outer Space with the thriller video, which I hadn't really realized, and that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then, so each comic has, you know, alt text, like many of the web comics do. And the alt text for this one is, this thriller parody goes out to my Last FM friend who doesn't like my taste in music and said he hopes it doesn't make it into the comic. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, Susie, do you have something that you would like to talk about?
Okay. Well, so I have two stacks here. I have the stack that Florence and Marty sent me for my birthday from the Indie Expo, but I actually haven't really had the chance to read any of it yet, but I can talk about them a little bit. So they sent me this little tiny comiclet called Breakup Box. It's the only one I've read so far, but it's very cute. It's a bunch of, it's by Robert James Allegio, I think. Or Adeggio, maybe? And it's just each page there is a robot drawn on it. Very creatively drawn robots. And then they have a word bubble saying breakup, say things like, this isn't one of your goddamn movies. This is our life.
And they're so great.
They really are. It was,
if
that
you
was,
really
yeah.
loved me, you'd have sex with me. Yes, you do still have a drinking problem. So it's pretty cute. So that's the only one I've read so far.
Yeah, I would say that was the toughest one for us to part with and give to you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's adorable. So then there's also the next three are trades. The first one is Curbside Boys, The New York Years by Robert Kirby.
Which I did read before I sent you.
And Robbie is actually a friend of mine.
Okay,
yeah.
There's distracting baby faces going on.
Yeah. I've known Robbie for a few years now. He used to date a friend of mine here, and his comic actually was set in the Twin Cities for quite a while.
Is it not anymore?
No, well,
so
and it's
called the New York Years, so probably not.
Yeah. He actually was a cartoonist who was published in the various gay press when the gay press actually had comics and were being published and stuff like that. He would get like published alongside of Alison Bechdel, and
I was gonna say the format of the way the book was published makes it look like it could be a very good companion to Dykes to watch out for, and it does have a quote from Alison Bechdel.
Yeah, they're close friends,
and he's a total sweetheart.
And now he's working on a new comic called Three. He's the editor of a new comic called Three. The first issue, the debut issue.
I thought that said the donut issue.
Oh, donuts.
Has stories by Joey Allison Sayers. And Eric Orner. Eric Orner used to do the mostly unfabulous Social Life of Ethan Green.
Another comic I've heard of but haven't read. But I do know that was recently made into a movie.
Yeah. And I actually enjoyed the movie. It didn't do well, but I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen that yet, but it's going to be on Logo and I'm TV-ing.
Yep. And this first issue of Three is quite good. As I said, it has a story by Eric Orner, Joey Allison Sayers, and Robert Kirby. Robbie's comic is called Freedom Flight, and it's about his main character, whose name I'm forgetting, sorry, Robbie, who is living in New York and talks about how sometimes he just wishes he could disappear, kind of become invisible, but disappear and just kind of like go through life without anyone noticing him.
Well, can I pause you here for a moment? Just to make note that we are losing Sharon.
Sad.
Yes.
Oh, I'm putting my socks on.
You're contributing.
Yeah, actually, before you go, do you have any final...
Yeah, do you want to say anything?
B.T. Livermore, did you guys see him?
B.T. Livermore. What did B.T. Livermore
put out? He had a wax mustache. And I'm not sure what comics he did, but I bought some prints of his because he had amazing prints. He had one of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox that I bought.
I saw that guy, yeah.
Yes, he was very, like, gay lumberjack. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Is he gay?
I think so, but I can't remember.
Maybe not.
He sells waxing stuff for men with mustaches.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you said wax mustache, I imagined one of the, like the candy lips or something. Like, I wasn't...
I immediately pictured Dolly.
Well, that's what he looks like.
Well, he had the beard too, though. He had a good, it was a little twisty.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. He maybe
had a good mustache going.
Dolly just has the pencil mustache. Yeah.
But now I'm off to get my child who wishes he had a mustache because he's
You know, well, thanks for coming over.
Mustaches. Yeah, I suppose it makes sense. Okay,
so I'll finish up then. And then I also got Blanket. Which I have been reading the comic since you guys recommended it, and I thought it was pretty great. And it's very cool to actually have it, like, on paper and stuff, and not having to squint into my iPhone to read it. And that, as we said before, was by Eric with an A, McCallan, and Lemuel Pugh. And they both signed it. They both did sketches. And it's very surreal and funny, and people should check that out. And the final one you guys sent me is called Wopsy Square by Paul Taylor.
Yeah, which is also a webcomic. Actually, I'm curious now which is a bigger webcomic, Wopsy Square or Dr. McNinja. Probably still Dr. McNinja, but Wopsy Square is also pretty famous.
I'd never heard of it, but it had a very fancy display compared to most of the rest of them. And, you know, nice pre-printed backdrop And it also had a little banner that said that one of the characters had been voted, like, the best female character in comics by someone. And that was enough for me to pick it up, really. And it seemed like there are many more trades and there's a lot more content out there. And it's another one that I crammed and read right before I wrapped it and sent it to you.
This trade is marked 2001 through 2004. So if it's still going, there's definitely more out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I hadn't ever heard of it before. I haven't read it yet. But it is also Scott assigned, and it has a picture of two cool-looking girls on it. So I'm looking forward to reading that one. So then my other stack is just a bunch of small press comics I've picked up over the years. I'm not going to go through every single one, but I will say some of them. One is called Every Girl is the End of the World for Me by Jeffrey Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Jeffrey Brown, but he's kind of a big name on the indie scene.
Yep, yeah.
He's a top shelf contributor. He's published on Top Shelf, and
yeah,
he's
published by Top Shelf. And it's very small, it's a perfect square. And I think I just picked it up because I'd heard of him, and I sat down and read it, like, through till the end. After I bought it, and the story-wise is just very slice of life.
And that's really what Jeffrey Brown is he does lots of very slice of life type things, but then he does other stuff too.
Well, so we have something of his, maybe two things of his, I think, that are just cats.
We have one, and Susie has the last one we got.
Oh, really? Okay.
But we met him at Wizard Convention.
Yeah, I think that's right, we did.
Yeah.
He has one that I've really wanted to read that I'm kind of surprised that you don't have, Marty, because it's his robot one. Like Mighty Megabots, something along those lines.
Like that. Yeah.
And they're transforming robots.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, apparently.
But, yeah, I really liked that one. And then the next one is...
I think he's from Chicago, isn't he?
...we got from Wizard World, but I've gotten the actual book from the library before, and I can say it's good. It's called Vogelein. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a Germanic word. Old Ghosts by Jane Irwin. And it is about a pixie, but she is a clockwork pixie. She has to be wound up. And in fact, if the key, she carries the key to wind herself up around her neck, but a key fits on into her back, so she actually has to find somebody she trusts to keep her alive, because if she ever winds down, that's it for her. And it seems to be set in sort of a Renaissance era fantasy land, and it's very good. And this same artist also did a webcomic that I kept up with for a long time called The Clockwork Game, which was about the chess machine that was made in Austria.
Oh, that's right.
That
yes.
actually was
yes.
a fraud.
Now I remember who you're talking about.
Right, we bought that at Artist Alley.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Which I think is included. I think she told that whole story.
Yeah, we bought some kind of preview, I think, for it, which just had, like, the first half or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had then since gone to the website, and,
mm-hmm.
It's on my webcomic list somewhere. And, I really like that. But I dig the stories about the fake chess player.
Mm-hmm.
Next one I've got is a little tiny...
Mechanical Turk, that's what it's called, sorry.
A tiny zine-style comic called Poop.
Poop.
By Sam Sharp. And it's just a little, one-page comic per page. But it's cute, it's funny. One of them has two astronauts on the moon, one looking at the other and just saying, poser. then we have Tarzan and Jane, but Jane has got her hands over his lip and saying, shh, you had me at me. so that was very cute.
That's great.
And despite being called Poop, there really isn't much poop in it. And then there's two by an artist named Erica Moen. M-O-E-N. The first one is called I Like Girls. And it's another zine style, and it seems to be about her, realizing her sexuality and coming out, and it's drawn really well, and it's really cute and kind of getting creative. And then the second one, and I can't remember which one I picked up first, but this might have been the one I picked up first. It's a little shorter. It's called Writing Love Letters to Your Pants. A mini comic by a mini girl. And it's been a while since I've read either of these, so I don't really remember what they're about. But they both impressed me, and I liked them.
I
have two more I will talk about. So the next one is Radio, an Illustrated Guide by Jessica Abel and Ira Glass.
Really?
And it was created as a... incentive to pledge to the Chicago Public NPR station.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, actually.
And I think that was about 10 years ago now. And I don't think I got it by pledging to the NPR station. I did eventually pledge to NPR, but not to get this. This I actually picked up at a record store that just happened to have this. But it is basically an illustrated comic explaining how they produce This American Life.
Cool.
And Jessica Abel has done many things. She's done Art Babe for a while, and then she did something called La Perdida. And most recently she did Life Sucks, which was about vampires.
Have you read that?
I
enjoyed
really
it quite a bit.
Yeah, I read that too.
It's about vampires that, for them, it really kind of sucks being a vampire.
Because,
it's like you're immortal, and so that means you get to work at a 7-Eleven forever.
And I think there was somebody else who worked with her on that, but I can't remember.
And it really is like the senior vampires make new vampires just so they can get free labor.
Yeah. And then finally, I have Chris Staros's yearbook stories. And it is a collection of stories about Chris Staros's high school years. And again, they're just very relatable. He was kind of geeky. And the final one in the last story is actually the most fun because it is about it's called The Worst Gig I Ever Had.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying how he and a couple of his friends were in a very, very bad garage band for a while there. And they got hired to play some party, and it ends up turning out to be, like, far in the woods. And the people they're playing for seem, like, very, very, very violent biker gang.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse. It dissolves into this big fight. And then suddenly, they perform, let's see, here we go. But before we knew it, what was happening? Everyone took off their clothes. They formed a big circle around us and actually performed an elephant dance. Which, an elephant dance is, you put one arm behind your between your legs, and the person behind you grabs it. Well, they have their arm, the other arm behind their legs, and the person behind that grabs that. So it's like the elephants holding trunks and tails. But they're all doing that naked. And we just laughed and stared in amazement. And, well, eventually the elephant dance ended, and the show came to a close. And everybody put their clothes, and they just laughed and laughed and laughed. And, that was it. Yeah, I just thought that was a good one.
So cool.
Those are a couple of the good indie stuff I've gotten over the years.
One of the books that I did not pick up at Mix, but I wanted to, it just was too expensive and I had spent so much money already, was, Rice Boy, which I have postcards from him. It's by Evan Dahm, D-A-H-M, and it looks like it's a collected from his webcomic, which what it says online here is, what it says on the back of the postcard is, over 1,000 pages of comics from the history of a richly detailed invented world, updated twice weekly, rice-boy.com, R-I-C-E-B-O-Y.com. And I had paged through it, and it was a beautiful book, and I really wanted to get it, but it was like $30, I think.
Yeah, I think I really wanted it, too. And then the weird thing is, like, it's about a character who is a grain of rice. Like, his head is a grain of rice, and he has a normal body. But it's, like, it's so interesting because literally it's drawn in this incredibly detailed, very rich style, but the gimmick is that the guy has a grain of rice for a head. And, you know, it's, like, I kind of felt like I would expect that from somebody who didn't know how to draw, like, you know? But I don't know. I mean, who knows? It looked really good, and I wanted to read it. It's worth noting, I think, that, you know, if anyone is listening to this and they want to add, you know, links or, you know, how to find additional information about any of these artists, please let us know, and we would be happy to add that. I mean, we are glossing over basically everybody here, and, you know, I mean, each one of these people deserves their own podcast, you know?
Oh, really, really.
That's how I feel.
You know, and we do have such a rich comic scene here in the Twin Cities that no one knows about. We have Mix now, we have the Zine Fest. These people show up at Fall Con and at Spring Con. They are at Convergence. They're at Minicon. They're all over the place. They do signings at Big Brain. And, I mean, people do hear about them, but it's still all overshadowed by mainstream comics. And so much of this stuff is so good. So just, these are the things that, when someone in the mainstream press writes an article about comics and you have the headline going, bang, pow, comics aren't just for kids anymore. These are the comics that they're talking about. And, you know, it's like, if we could get them to get away from those headlines to, these are the comics that really gain respect for the art form, I think.
And well, these are the people who are kind of, you know, going to be Art Spiegelman in a few years if there is going to be another one. You know, these are the people who are going to take that next step.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. But I mean, you know, I'm saying it's probably not going to be Mark Miller.
Sure.
Even though he's very good. But the person who's going to do the next thing that's going to revolutionize comics.
These are the people that will eventually win a Pulitzer Prize for a comic.
No, has that ever happened?
Art Spiegelman for Mouse.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. Is he the only
have
one?
Have you read Mouse?
Yeah, I read it a long time ago. Like, actually, before I really got into comics at all.
Okay.
I had read it. Yeah.
I really wonder if eventually, you know, they'll put out a new, in the same way that the Oscars eventually put out a best animated feature, if the Pulitzer organization would put out best graphic interpretation or something like that.
Graphic novelization?
Well, not even novelization, just graphic work. Because
Did they put out any, like, best novel or anything like that? I mean, what do you win Pulitzer Prizes for? Like,
it's literature and journalism, I think. And that's it. Aren't that many categories.
Okay, so you're saying they might add a category.
There's literature, there's journalism, and I think there's also a...
stage?
What's that?
Stage plays?
Stage plays, yeah.
Okay.
So... Well, I mean, we've been going on for a while about MIX, the Minneapolis Indie Expo, and Susie talked about some of the indie press comics, small press comics that she's collected over the years, and I'd really like to start to make this a more regular feature as well, where we talk about some of these things.
We walked around and talked to, like, every third person, we were like, "Hey, do you want to be on our podcast?" And they were all like, "Yes,
yes."
So, I mean, if we don't have local comic artists as interviews on our podcast, it's because we are lazy.
You guys. It sounds like you guys have stacks that you haven't read yet. So once you do read it, if you feel inspired, you can always do a review on Read Comics.
Yes, we should do that.
Well, and we did that. I started doing that for a while. I think I did like three of them. I had this. There's a local arts collective. I forget what the name of the arts collective is.
The Comic Book Conspiracy, and it's not really local, but they have a local
chapter, and they put out a box annually called Ludafisk Sushi, which is full of mini comics. And I was reviewing the mini comics, and like I said, I think I got to three of them before I lost steam. But
they had a new collection this year.
They did have a new collection.
Mix. Yeah.
And, you know, we really ought to be reviewing these on the site and talking to these people, getting them out there, because they deserve to have attention drawn to them.
For sure.
Kind of like Colleen, getting all the attention
right
now.
She gets all the attention.
She is definitely contributing to the podcast tonight. Okay, as I think this is Colleen's way of saying that we are done recording for the evening. Are you sure? Okay, yeah, we're done.
She says yes.
This is Jason
and Marty, and Susie
on Skype. Florence is not in the room anymore. So thank you all for listening, and we will be back soon. I think our next one is going to be one of our book clubs where we're going to be talking about The Goon, and I need to decide
which part of the Goon
we're going to do. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.